Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
He is a man of exquisite taste, always good with his time to pull up a stool and join us here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. One of our regulars, Nate Geary, WGR, joining us now. Hey, Nate, how are you, bud?
I'm very good. I am newly acquainted and caught up on the Bills' newest addition, Josh Norman, at the cornerback position, thanks to Mr. Joe Biscaglia. And the weather's turning. I got my first round of golfing yesterday, so I'm living as good as I could get.
Shoulder feeling all right.
Shoulders feeling much better, thankfully. Otherwise, you would have seen a lot of complaining from me on my Twitter.
Nate, Josh Norman, certainly a polarizing figure. I mean, in this day and age, you can show somebody a clip on Twitter, and that one play becomes the story here. But the fact is, if you look at the overall picture the last 2 years in Washington, haven't been that good. So where do you come down on the signing of Josh Norman in Buffalo?
I think maybe to talk about the signing here in Buffalo, I think most people need to understand the signing that happened to Josh Norman in Washington several years ago after his big contract season in the 2015 year, where he is one of the best cornerbacks in football at the time and, of course, playing under Sean McDermott. And part of, I think, what Bills fans that are optimistic about this move believe is that the Bills can somehow harness or sort of recalibrate the player that we saw in 2015 and try to get that same or similar production, 5 years later. I know it's in a lot of cases wishful thinking. However, I think if you look into a little deeper how he was used really from day one in Washington, I don't think that Josh Norman went to the best situation possible for Josh Norman. I think Josh Norman went to the best situation for his pocketbook when he decided to go to Washington. Now, really, from day one, in year one, Josh was used in way more man-to-man looks than I think anyone would have guessed, just based on the success he had in the zone playing under Sean McDermott. So if you're a zone corner who in the NFL Combine ran a 4.6, isn't exactly known for their athletic prowess, you need to be placed in a defense that's heavy zone that relies on instincts and timing, which Josh Norman has in abundance. So the thing that I think you saw a lot of why Josh Norman struggled in Washington was simply because he was asked to play a position or a scheme that simply didn't best fit his mold as a cornerback. So coming to Buffalo, being asked to be the number two, potentially a replacement level number two, maybe that means he's going on and off with Levi Wallace. Maybe that means they also bring back Kevin Johnson, and there's a two- or three-person rotation there. So I think that the good news about this move, guys, is it doesn't inhibit the Bills to add another corner if they wanted. It doesn't hurt them in their pursuit of offensive weapons. This is a move that I think, Brandon Bean is familiar with the player, familiar with the scheme that he can best sort of function in. I think he saw that potential to be in his best potential self here in Buffalo. So why not go after a guy that you know that you like and frankly likes you? I think you can go back to when the Bills signed Brandon Bean and hired him to be the team's general manager. Josh Norman was one of the very first players on Twitter to go out and say, man, the Bills they really did well getting Brandon Beane. He's well-liked across the league. So I think it was a move that does not hurt their future flexibility, but is a move that is potentially low risk and high reward.
I don't know, Nate. I mean, everything you're saying is great, and I love the optimistic view, and I agree with you on a lot of what you're saying. And then there's the cynic in me that just views this as, all right, well, they just went to another guy that they're familiar with, and they were able to offer him more because they have the space, and if there were other teams, they were lowballing him. I don't look at this as a prove-it deal, and I've heard a lot of people, oh, it's a prove-it deal. There's no risk. It's a prove-it deal. I'm like, this isn't a prove-it deal. It's a favor. I mean, it's Sean McDermott and Brandon Beane saying, hey, man, you gave us some good years in Carolina. Let's see if you got one more good year in you here in Buffalo. And I'm going to remain skeptical throughout the summer as to whether or not this guy even makes the final 53.
And you know, if he doesn't, I'm interested, and I haven't seen, and those numbers likely won't be released until the official signing and the team actually announces the move. But I would be interested to see what the base salary is. Is it in heavy incentive laden contract? I would bet, guys, that there are some or significant incentives within that deal. And I bet that the base salary for this year does not exceed $3 million. That is, I'd be willing to put some money on that. And if that's the case, if a guy doesn't make it to your game day roster week one, and he's got $3 million, and what the guaranteed number is might be significantly less than that. So if there wasn't high demand for Josh Norman on the market, and reports indicate that there was at least mild interest in him from other teams across the league, I would be willing to bet that it'll be a low per year guarantee, a low per year salary cap hit, a low guaranteed number, and high on incentives. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but if that's the case, and that's what I would assume, then this really is kind of a low risk move. Now, for you, there is certainly a fraction of the fan base that looks at this and says, Josh Norman, he's just going after guys they know, sure. But I also think that we're in a very...
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Quite frankly,
oh, we got you, Nate. We're losing you a little bit there. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Basically, what I was going to end by saying is, we have very rarely been in a position where the general manager has built up enough good graces to make a move like this and not be questioned universally. He at least has earned the benefit of the doubt to make a move like this and not be highly criticized for it.
Nate, there are a couple tells, I think, in the offseason here for the Buffalo Bills. One being on the offensive line when they're talking about the versatility of Cody Ford and bouncing him in. Could he be a right tackle? But I want to start. I don't know if you saw the tweet from Shaq Lawson last night. I'll just read it for everybody else. Laugh out loud. This is him responding to a hater on the internet. Didn't get the opportunity. I didn't start one game last year. Played only 47% of the snaps, but still finished second in sacks, first in tackle for loss. I don't know if we're to take that to mean, hey, I'm not happy with the way things are going here in Buffalo, but he's a little critical of didn't get an opportunity. Can we kind of deduce here that maybe the Buffalo Bills could perhaps, if they're not having these talks right now with Shaq Lawson in terms of a re-up, maybe you allocate those dollars and get one of the bigger prizes at defensive end. Nate, is that a missing piece in this Buffalo Bills defense, having the defensive end that everybody has to worry and game plan for?
Yeah, you know, the problem for me is that guy on the market at an age and an injury history that I feel comfortable investing that type of yearly salary cap money to? And I think I come back to, well, that's a no on Jadeveon Clowney for me, because Jadeveon's likely going to command upwards of $18 to $20 million per year in his next contract. A player that isn't always available and isn't a guy that necessarily loads the box score with stats you'd want to see from a defensive end. So, Jamie Clowney, no, but I would feel just fine that instead of, let's say, Shaq Lawson ends up getting something like $9 or $10 million a year, which I think is still a stretch for him. You know, yes, his opportunities were, I guess, limited, but I mean, he played just as much as a Trent Murphy, just as much, maybe a little less than a Jerry Hughes, but he doesn't have the pass rushing skills that a Jerry Hughes or even Trent Murphy have. So in this league, defensive ends, they get paid for two things. Well, three. They get paid for sacks, they get paid for pressures, and a combination of those two combined with your age being under 27, those guys are going to get paid a lot. And Shaq fits the bill on one of those. He's under 27, but he's not a player that is remotely in the top 50 in pressures, in the top 35 in sacks. So, you know, those are things that get players paid. And in the NFL, during free agency, players get paid for what they've done, not necessarily what they can or will do in the future. So that's really important to note when talking about what Shaq Lawson's going to get. In a perfect world, guys, we all pay players based on what we can project they'll be, not what they did for their first contract or first two contracts. But that's not reality in the NFL. If you don't have the production, you're not going to get paid. And right now, Shaq Lawson sits in a tough spot, and you have to sell that, well, it was because of my limited opportunities. But how many places is Shaq Lawson going to go and play 80% of the snaps? Is there a team out there that's going to do that? I mean, I hope for that team, no. Right. He's in a rotation here in Buffalo. That is going to be the position. That's why I don't think they need to go out and get a $20 million a year player. Go draft a guy, go get a guy in the second round who can come in and contribute. Hope that you get some development from Daryl Johnson. But for me, Shaq Lawson is likely more out the door than he is going to be re-signing. And I think I'm fine with that. This isn't the regime that drafted him. But I think you got to like what you got from Shaq Lawson last year, but it's just not, to me, a $10 million a year player.
Yeah, I mean, in a year where he had everything to gain by balling out, that's what you got. He was good, not
that's
great,
right.
And he'll probably get a good, not great deal elsewhere. The Bills content with not paying him top dollar, and they should be. That's, you know what? That's what a rational organization does, and I think that's why a lot of us are like, wait a minute, they're actually making smart business decisions? We never cheer for fiscal responsibility as sports fans, but I'll be the guy that says, you know what? That's a smart move by the Bills, letting him walk and not paying him top dollar based on what he's given you so far.
Yeah, and not only that, but think about it this way. This is the first time this organization has seen a regime get to year four since, I mean, help me out here, guys. When was the last time a regime got to year four? So there's that roster continuity there that they're actually each year building. And you look in Cleveland, today they released Christian Kirksey, their starting linebackers, 27 years old, now 2 years of pretty shortened seasons due to injury, only 9 combined games the last 2 years. They also have decided not to re-sign Joe Schobert. That means in a year that it basically has one premier linebacker in free agency and only 2 first-round level linebackers in Murray and potentially Isaiah Simmons from Clemson, it's not a good year to be dumping, 65% of your linebacking core. So with the Bills in a similar situation, like, they have continuity in their roster where they're not having a guy come in and say, well, that's not my guy, we got to move on. That's a huge advantage for the Bills moving into not only this season, but into the future as well.
Nate, to answer your question, Dick Duran started year four but got fired. So if Sean McDermott makes it through year four, and I think it would be really, really long odds if he did not, he'd be the first head coach since Marv Levy. My gosh. Nate Geary, our guest here in the sports bar, as you hear him during the season on the pre, the post, and the halftime show, also on Saturdays on WGR, sister station on the radio.com app. Nate, to kind of finish up the idea on the offensive line, if they're continuing to talk about, there were some comments dating back to the combine about moving perhaps Cody Ford inside. Is that the plan, do you think, if Quentin Spain walks? And should we have an expectation that maybe the Buffalo Bills could spend some money at the right tackle position this year?
I think that that's a fair assessment to make. They also have Ty Nsekhe under contract. So they do have a starting caliber right tackle on the roster right now if they wanted to move him down with the idea that, hey, we also probably need to address the depth of that position. And honestly, this is a draft that at 22 – you could end up with the fifth, maybe best tackle in this draft. And this is a tackle-heavy draft to boot. So that might not be a bad position to consider if you wanted to, say, find a new starting caliber right tackle to give you the flexibility to move Cody Ford down to guard. The question is this the organization that wants to do it? And I don't think they've really given too many clear indications that moving Cody Ford is in their plans. They've sort of left it open, but they haven't really given indication that that's something they'd like or prefer to do. I've kind of said it from the onset that I'd really like to see Cody Ford at guard. I think that's really the position that maybe best suits him, that he can play at the highest level at. But again, I'm not Bobby Johnson. I am not in the locker room. I'm not on the practice field or in the film room to determine and say to myself, well, hey, here's the evidence that would indicate he can be that player. I'm just projecting it from what we saw a year at Oklahoma when he played guard. So, yeah, I think that is sort of the most interesting aspect of this offseason, what happens to Cody Ford, because I think there's been a bit of a a domino effect. If you move Cody Ford to guard, well, then, first of all, you've completely secured your guard position. Now, is that going to be on the right side or the left? And if you move him down to the right, is John Feliciano in a good position to start at left guard? Now, we saw him play really well at right guard, but I don't think enough common fans give the respect of what moving from the right side to the left side of the offensive line, like how much work that takes for guys and how much different working and taking pass steps from the right side is compared to the left. Like that is a big difference for people. And I don't know that people fully appreciate the difficulty of that change. But if it's me, I want Cody Ford at right guard. I don't want to just put him on the left side after he's really only ever shown confidence on the right side, both in college and in his first year in the pros. So right guard for me is where I'd want to move. That means, is John Feliciano in a position to move to left guard? Can he start there? And if not, is Spencer Long an option there at left guard? So,
And I was going to say, you mentioned Spencer Long, who got the exercised his option. His option was exercised today by the Bills.
Yeah, and I think he's a player that fits into the depth role position that they he gives them a lot of flexibility on the interior because he can play center and guard. So he was always a no-brainer for me to get that option picked up. The question becomes, is there a right tackle on the market that they like, that they believe is young enough and they can get on a good enough contract to bring in that would give them the flexibility within Secchi and that potential free agent addition? And I think the answer to that question is, I think there are plenty of guys that could come in and do it. The question is, do they want to move Cody Ford? And I don't know that yet we've got a definitive answer on that.
Nate, where do you come down when it comes to acquiring offensive linemen? I mean, we've seen both. We've seen the Bills draft offensive linemen that have contributed, but we've also seen them acquire them in free agency like they did last year and put together a competent offensive line. We know that there are going to be some names out there that could fit that right tackle opening if they decide to move Ford inside. Which side of the street are you parking on?
I'll tell you what, another benefit of the doubt here is this is an organization that unearthed a John Feliciano, who was essentially a depth and situational starter for Oakland, to turn into one of their best offensive linemen. So if they can unearth another John Feliciano this offseason, I think that's a big credit. It's a testament to this organization, because look what the Jets did. The Jets decided, hey, you know, we're going to put 80%, 60, 70% of whatever it was into two players, right? We're going to bring Le'Veon Bell in and we're going to go sign CJ Mosley, and that's going to account for most of our spend this offseason. And, oh, we'll take a guy to retirement and we'll bring Osemele in, Kelechi Osemele, and he'll be great and we'll be fine. And they mishandled that as basically as poorly as you could, and it led to a bad season. And the Bills did just the very opposite of that. So I think their thought process is, we're not going to set the standard for who's going to be paid the most at tackle or guard in this offseason, but we are going to bring on two or three guys that are compete for a depth position. And if one of them, we can get more out of them than the previous regime or previous team did, then so be it. So that's the kind of player I think they'll be targeting. And the general manager has shown that he's got an eye for offensive linemen. So that's a really, really big positive that you don't feel like they're going to go out and overspend on a guy and not get the production that they need.
Nate, we haven't talked to you since the combine, and for that I apologize, but I want to get your thoughts on this, because yes, the Bills could go wide receiver 22, but if they don't, if they wait until the second round, who are some of those wide receivers that would be in your sweet spot if you were Brandon Bean that might be a second round wide receiver for Buffalo?
Yeah, I guess it comes down to what kind of movement did we see from the wide receiver group from the combine. I think Denzel Mims made himself of Baylor a pretty nice paycheck. I also think Chase Claypool of Notre Dame did the same, running in the 4.4s at 6'5", 230 pounds. People talking about him at potentially moving to tight end. I think all of that conversation is now to the side, and he's firmly back into he's a receiver in this draft. So the second round, Brandon Ayuk of Arizona State's an interesting name that people talk about. Denzel Mims of Baylor, as I just mentioned. Chase Claypool, I'm not sure if he's going to be a second-round pick or a third-round pick. He's a name I'd be paying attention to. KJ Hamler of Penn State, more of a speedier, smaller type, is one that I've kind of been keeping my eye on. But there are plenty of names in that second tier. Laviska Shenault, is he going to be a guy that's going to move back because of some of these injury concerns? A lot of guys being mocked. A lot of people had him being mocked to the Bills early this offseason at 22. Now it looks like more or less he could be a second or even third round pick. The guy that I'm most interested in that seems to be the consensus and a guy that Benjamin Albright earlier this week mentioned, T. Higgins of Clemson. Originally, we've seen a lot of him being mocked in round one. More and more, I'm skeptical of him being around one target, and potentially could be a guy that falls to the Bills at 54 in the second round. So T. Higgins is definitely an option for this team in the second round.
Nate, before we let you go, we got to know where you are on the Tom Brady watch. We spend at least a little bit of time every day kind of
4:44. We made it through 1 hour 44 minutes of the show today.
It's pretty good, but I mean, everybody's got their opinion on where Brady plays next season. What's yours?
So I'm convinced it's a two-team race, and I'm convinced that neither of those teams are the New England Patriots. I think that 60% he plays in Vegas this year, and the other 40% I have going to the Tennessee Titans. I know a lot of people want to make this a San Francisco a sleeper team. As much as I think San Francisco has an interest, I just have trouble believing that they're going to be just give up on Jimmy G after we saw him for one full season to move to a guy that at most you might get two full seasons out of before his retirement. So Tennessee's a really a sleeper team for me. They're a team with a really good defense, good weapons on offense, a great offensive line. That seems like a situation that Brady could walk into and potentially be the difference for them. So Tennessee's my sleeper, but I'm pretty much all in on Vegas being the team Tom Brady is playing for next year.
I'm curious as to why, like some of the other rumored teams, you don't see a fit. Maybe Tampa Bay, the Chargers, for example. Those reasons why you think that, we're led to believe those are candidates. What's your opinion on why they wouldn't be, Nate?
The Chargers, just to me, are in such a unique position. They don't right now. Do we know if the stadium in L.A. is supposed to be up for the 2020 season? I don't know that it is. I think it might be another. It is. Okay.
Yes.
So they'll be in a new stadium, so I guess that's a plus for the Chargers in this case. But I don't know. I look at the Chargers, and they don't really seem like an organization that is in a position to command a Tom Brady-type personality. Yes, they're in L.A., but I don't see them as a viable option. So if I'm looking elsewhere, the most obvious one to me, if he's going to go somewhere outside of the two I mentioned, San Francisco does make a level of sense. But, again, I just don't think they're giving up on Jimmy G that quickly. I think that would be foolish on their part.
Nate, let our audience know where they can hear more of your work here on our radio.com app.
Yeah, I'm at Nate Geary WGR. I got some work in the pipeline for some pre-draft stuff and some pre-draft content at WGR550.com. So be sure to check me out there, of course. And then, I'm really looking forward to this draft season. Of course, it's the most important time of the year for a lot of fans. But, hey, free agency, guys, is a Monday from now, the legal tampering period. It opens for the Bills. So that's going to be a really exciting time, a team with lots of cap room. I'm really looking forward to this offseason.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be a crazy 2 weeks here. Nate, let's do this again, certainly, before the draft. Really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
Looking forward to it, fellas. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
You got it. Thanks, Nate. Nate Geary, radio.com, sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo. Good with his time, as always, and joining us in the sports bar.
I think he brings up a really good point that we kind of, all right, let's just say the Bills are going to let Quentin Spain walk, and we kind of pencil in our mind, hey, Cody Ford's going to slide over there, but maybe that's not the best part. He is more suited to the right-hand side. Is Feliciano going to be able to make that move over to the left side? Or maybe you're in the market for another guard.
Well,
so.
And Nate didn't bring this up. I mean, Feliciano basically came over with Bobby Johnson. Bobby Johnson and Feliciano work together in Oakland. They have a relationship. So if you were to make that transition, I would imagine that the bond between the offensive line coach and the guy that he brought in, that he handpicked to bring in from Oakland, his former team, yeah, that they wouldn't make that move without some level of confidence that he could easily do that.
Right, and I think Feliciano played well enough to you're not going to relegate him to a backup position. I would want him one of the starting guards on the team.
Just
next
mean,
year.
Mean, nasty dude. Get him out there. Let's get to NFL appetizers next. So much to get to. News and notes from around the NFL. It's all brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Oh, do you want a scheduling morsel?
Tell me.
Tell yes, you do. Yes, yes. We will give you a little scheduling morsel. We've got CBA news, of course. We've got the Josh Norman story to kind of go over in advance. Maybe a surprise. Somebody that was pretty good calling it quits in Baltimore. What's going on with our friend Al Michaels?
Okay. NFL appetizers next. We go around the NFL and serve up the day's top stories in bite-sized form on AM 950 and 95.7 FM ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.